The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, February 12, 2017, and is sponsored by Bob and Audrey Johnson in memory of Jesse.
Good morning, and welcome to worship at Holy Trinity. We especially welcome guests today. We're glad that you are here. We hope this isn't the last time that you come and worship with us at Holy Trinity. It is good to have you here, and so good to see all of you here today. Let us continue, begin with the order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We take a moment for silent reflection. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Stand as we sing together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
us pray together. O God, the strength of all who hope in you, because we are weak mortals, we accomplish nothing good without you. Help us to see and understand the things we ought to do, and give us grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson is from Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Moses said to the people, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. "Brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Here ends the reading.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends, grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Sermon on the Mount, this is our third week now. Third week in a row, hearing from Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Epiphany is a season when Jesus is made known to us. We think of light, but also teaching. And the Sermon on the Mount, obviously, is the kind of the first big important body of teaching in Matthew's Gospel, also in Luke's Gospel as well. But the Sermon on the Mount, this section of the Gospel, has three audiences. Okay, there is the original audience, which includes some of the disciples and the crowd that has gathered on the mountain that Matthew is telling us about, probably more of a hill than a mountain. And then there is the early church, the people, the particular congregation that Matthew was writing to or for. And then there's us and all of those who have read this story, heard this story, nearly 2,000 years later now and counting. The common takeaway for each of these audiences is that relationships matter. Community matters. Jesus cares about relationships. Jesus cares about one-on-one relationships, and Jesus cares about the fabric of human community. Jesus cares about the larger interaction of human relationships, large and small. Just before this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that he has come to fulfill the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. And from what we can see here in this context, by fulfill, what Jesus means is to broaden or expand what it means to be faithful. Okay? Jesus, speaking to primarily a Jewish audience, wants to expand their understanding of what it means to be faithful. So first we have this commandment to not murder. You know, one of the Ten Commandments. For Jesus, it's not simply enough to avoid committing a capital crime, however. Rather, one is liable to judgment if one simply gets angry at another or insults another. And we must make things right. We must make things right with the one at whom we have lashed out, even before we come into worship. Jesus puts this in the context of the ultimate, you know, symbol of our faithfulness, which is coming into worship. That's why we begin most worship services, by the way, with the order for confession and forgiveness, like we did this morning. I suppose if we took Jesus more seriously, at least according to what he says here, though, we might even take time to seek out the person that we have hurt as a part of our confession, even to get up and go out of this worship space in pursuit of those who we have hurt. But at least saying it or reflecting on it is a way for us to honor what Jesus takes so seriously, a way for us to keep it front and center for us in our lives. Whether we are here or out there, we are concerned about relationships. Jesus then refers to the commandment prohibiting adultery. Here he expands this to include looking at another person as an object or using divorce as an easy way out of a relationship. Finally, and by now our heads are spinning, maybe you checked out by this point as I was reading the gospel, Jesus interprets the commandment about telling a lie or swearing falsely, again, always for the sake of preserving relationships. What's most important here is that Jesus is more concerned with the spirit of the law than he is with the literal reading of the law. Jesus is concerned with intent and motivation. Jesus is concerned with the integrity of relationships. I actually think there's something here for us. Let me read part of this again. When you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. You maybe have to wonder, if Jesus was sharing this word for us in particular, living in the USA in 2017, this is perhaps the most polarized time in our nation's history, or at least since the Civil War. Surely there is something here for us as we hear Jesus talk about the importance of reconciliation. The word reconciliation, to bring together what is broken. What if we actually took reconciliation seriously? The problem with reconciliation between people who disagree or are angry with each other, and we've all experienced this, or even when one has clearly been harmed by the other, is that it takes two for the healing process to happen. When I have been talking with a person about a struggle they've been having in their relationship, One of the things that I know means that they're probably past the opportunity of bringing reconciliation to the relationship is when one of them refuses to go and get help. Okay, usually, not always, but usually that means there's serious trouble. It takes two for healing to happen. And we must be honest, there are times when reconciliation is not possible in the case of abuse or neglect. Even sadly, when reconciliation has to be given up on in favor of keeping someone safe, right? But when reconciliation is possible, it takes two for it to happen. But it takes one for the process of reconciliation to begin. It takes one for the process to begin. Reconciliation is a process. On a personal level, I can think of times when I have had a serious disagreement, okay, a fight, right, with someone that I love. Imagine this. Whoever was at fault to begin with, probably me, we have become completely entrenched, divided, and angry. We are not going to budge. But then after a time, there's a pattern here. One of the two of us gives just a little, opens the door just a little, just enough to make us realize that reconciliation is possible. It takes two for reconciliation to happen, but someone has to make the first move. Maybe that's what Jesus was talking about when he spoke of the one on her way to worship who must take a detour to make things right with the one whom she is with whom she is angry. There is something more important even than the ritual of worship, and that is reconciliation. In fact, worship must reflect the promise of reconciliation, God's reconciliation with us and our reconciliation with one another. It sounds like Jesus expects people of faith to take the high road, to make the first move toward reconciliation and healing. There's a great example of taking the high road from Invictus, a film based on the book by John Carlin, a story about Nelson Mandela and the Springboks, South Africa's national rugby team. In 1995, shortly after being released from prison, where Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in prison, Mandela attends a game between the Springboks and the English national rugby team. When he goes to the game, he sees that the black fans are actually cheering not for their own country's team, but for the opposing English team. Rugby is the favorite sport among white South Africans. And so the black South Africans are cheering against the white South African team. Mandela even remembers doing this himself when he was imprisoned on Robben Island, cheering for the opposition. It's a phenomenon that reflects the racial brokenness of the apartheid system. Because of his commitment to reconciliation, Mandela, now on his way to becoming the president of South Africa, realizes that something must change. Something must give. Someone must start the process. And he decides that he's going to convince the black majority South African Sports Commission to get behind the Springboks, to get behind them. In other words, to get the black South African people to cheer for the primarily white Springboks team. Mandela succeeds. And it becomes a unifying moment for the country when the team wins the World Rugby Championship. And it's but one example of how Mandela built a bridge and opened up the possibility of a more unified future. It takes one to get the process going. And sometimes the one is a national leader, and sometimes the one is one of us, right? Living in community, a community, a congregation, a community, New Prague, a family, right? I wonder what kind of leadership it's going to take for this country during these terribly divided times. Honestly, there are days when I don't think it's possible. I'd say more days than not. And I believe that it will get worse before it gets better. What I can tell you, however, on those days when I am more hopeful, is that when reconciliation does start to creep in, it will begin with people of faith who are willing to make the first move, to take the higher road, and to begin the conversation by listening. And when this begins to happen, we will see, we will experience what it's like when God is at work among us. Amen. I invite you to stand as we join together in the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And now we join in praying together with confidence as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord.